Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg, co-host Green Diva Lisa, and sidekick Green Dude Scott share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
Well, that's a nice welcome. Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show with Green Diva Meg and...
Well, Green Dude Scott, but we're missing Lisa.
Lisa.
Hi.
There she
How
is.
How are you?
Green Diva Lisa.
You're not in Minot, are you? Where are you right now?
I am in South Dakota.
Okay, so you're not flooded.
I am in a little town called Kadoka, which is on my way to the Pine Ridge Reservation to visit with some friends.
Well, yeah, he was mentioning Minot because they're having, like, horrible flooding.
Horrible flooding, yeah.
Biblical flooding.
Well,
what I did hear about in Nebraska was that two of the nuclear power plants are partially submerged, and that's a very serious
That's
situation.
A bummer.
Well, at least it's keeping the rods cool.
Yeah, right. Well, all right. Well, listen, let's just get, you know, I want to introduce the show a little bit. We have a big, busy show today. Which we always do now, right?
A big show.
We have our Green Diva correspondent, Kat O'Brien, from Pittsfield, Massachusetts, in the Berkshires of Western Massachusetts, calling in. Our interview guest is Susan Frankel. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. She's the author of Plastic, A Toxic Love Story. And that we've got a lot to talk about. And I do want to just mention that... bravely, that we'd love to hear from any listeners that are listening here in the northern New Jersey area or online. And the number to call us is 973-267-9687. You know, if you hear anything that interests you or you have a question or you want to ask a question of anybody we're talking to. So just toss that out there. Anyway, I also want to just mention our online partners who are doing a great job helping get the Green Divas out there. We've got care2.com, eatdrinkbetter.com, ecoseed.org, Green Revolution Radio out of WKVOI, Tucson, Arizona, feelgoodstyle.com, Grateful Dread Public Radio, gdreadradio.net, and lots of other fun places we're starting to appear. So that's that. I'll be
quiet. So not only are we bi-coastal, we're international.
We are. We're all over the place.
Amazing.
We are. So we're having fun. I came in this morning, and Robina is here with Scotty. Did I get your name right? Because we call her Ro, but I thought I would use her real name. Ro is sort of our name. But Ro brought me these really cool utility gloves. I thought, well, okay, why does she bring me these things? And you know why? Because they're made of bamboo.
Yeah. Really kind of rough and scratchy.
They're real. No, they're not. Not at all. That's the surprising thing. And I'm always surprised when I get things made of bamboo, especially clothing. I'm wearing bamboo pants right now. And
you know, whenever
so
that is said,
soft.
When the first time we did this show, just the images in my mind were.
I know, like some really rough linen.
But they actually use the thread of the material of the plant.
So that was very thoughtful of her because I do actually need some new gloves for gardening. But what I'm reading this thing and they're 100% biodegradable and naturally regenerative.
So basically, when you lose them in the garden, you'll definitely lose them in the garden.
Yeah, I was like, what happens if you accidentally leave them out for like a week or something?
For a week, I don't think so.
But, yeah, well, I guess my question would be is how long do they last?
Well, I tell you what, you'll have to have a report later in the year.
Yep, Ro's going to go look it up. She's on the ball. Anyway, so thank you, Ro. That was very sweet. And I love my new bamboo gardening gloves.
In your garden.
Well, I guess I thought she was just trying to tell me my weeds were out of control. Which
well, how
they
is
are.
The garden this year,
as
the epic
seen,
garden?
As you've seen your garden, you have been a busy girl.
Yeah, no, my garden is kind of well. And you know what happened is this week the let me see how I can say this. I have a not so nice name for them, but the little groundhogs.
Well, the little groundhogs.
Well, the babies. There's about 100 of them, and
groundhogs.
Like there's a whole village living in my backyard, I think, and they love all the potted flowers, particularly.
Really?
Sweet potato vine. They ate
They're eating your flowers right down to the really.
Oh yeah, ate. And so this morning I had a incident. I bought some new stuff from my local hardware store.
Well, you used to have a guardian in the yard.
I did. I had Woody. I think it's a big difference.
Woody's no longer with us.
No longer with us.
So the Grand Hawks are having a field day.
They're having a field day. So I'm at my local hardware store, you know, supporting my local hardware store. And I said, I need to spray something that isn't toxic and environmentally safe. It has to be environmentally safe.
Wolf urine.
And I also have herbs, right? So the guy says, well, and it says right on the front, you know, good for edible plants. It's environmentally safe. It doesn't hurt the animals. I'm like, okay. He said, but it's a little stinky.
Well, of course. Now, listen. Now, hold on a second.
Let me just tell you.
If it's not toxic and it works, it's going to be stinky. Okay?
Well, this is
to like, somebody anyway.
It was, so I was actually in tears yesterday when I saw my pots. So this morning after all the rain, I thought, I got to go spray this stuff.
You saw your what?
My pots.
Oh, your pots.
My pots on my deck. They're, you know, like sad. They've had a haircut.
Instead of doing the big garden, Megan has done this beautiful pot on her deck.
Yeah, I have the garden down there, but yeah, it's, forget it. So anyway, I went out there this morning with my little spray, and I thought, oh, I'm just going to get them. And I spray, and it's on the deck, mind you, where we live in the summer.
I thought you were spraying the groundhogs.
And
like,
I actually,
like a squirt gun.
And I was trying to get the nozzle to work, and I spilled some on my hand, and I thought, oh, that might be unfortunate later.
Yeah. Well,
guess what?
I'm staying away from you, I'll tell you that.
My entire back of my house is uninhabitable. It does smell a bit like poo.
See,
and
it works.
I scrubbed my finger, but it's very unfortunate. That's all I'll say.
You're sitting on one side of the table. We are all
yeah, I know. Everybody's on the outside of the room. So anyway, all these natural, wonderful remedies, you know, they have their side effects too. All right. Enough silliness from me on that. Anyway, what are you doing out there, Lisa? You
well,
just got there, right?
I've actually just spent the last 33 hours driving. I have two friends that are traveling with me this time. Usually I drive travel alone. And I had a couple friends that were coming this way, so they joined me. So we drove straight through, and we've been driving for 33 hours. We stopped at a little restaurant there, relaxing in the restaurant while I'm sitting in the car chatting with y'all. We're looking for the nearest shower. We think we're going to rent a room for them.
Oh, yeah.
So we can enjoy the rest of our trip together.
Right, right. It's either that or windows are all open and, you know.
So she's keeping the groundhogs away, too.
I guess so. Yeah, you've got your own way of doing that. They're not chasing you down the highway. That's funny. Well, at least you're sharing, right? Your green travel is that you're sharing a
ride. I'm jealous. I love traveling.
Yeah, I do,
I would
too.
Love to be out there right now.
This is the first time I've had somebody to help share with the gas. And
sure.
You know, we're going to set up a little camp. We're going camping, and we're sharing all our camping gear. So we're doing the share style of lifestyle, only in a holiday way. Each of us bought different pieces of our what we all need for camping.
Oh, that's nice. That's very, very, very efficient of you all.
Well, where are you going to end up? Where are you headed?
I have friends on the in Grass Creek on the Pine Ridge Reservation, and that's where we camp.
Awesome.
It's
all right.
Just beautiful. You can, right from where we are, we can see the Badlands, and we can see the Black Hills at the same time. It's just gorgeous.
Well, so we're not sure we're going to be able to talk to you through the whole ordeal, but we'll keep trying, right?
Or
not today.
Right.
I mean, you know, during your travels.
Right.
Yeah, post your odyssey on our Facebook page so that we know where you are and what you're doing.
You know, she has been sending
that's
me
a good
stuff.
Idea.
I've seen it.
I have it open up.
Everybody
does. I'll do that while we're visiting.
No. I mean, she's been sending stuff that I haven't posted yet because I am so behind because she left me here.
That's definitely partly my fault because I'm not there doing some of the stuff that I do. So Megan's having to pick up the slack.
That's
all
right.
Too much for one person to do.
Silent Jesse. Oh, Krista Ellison. My niece, our wonderful niece, wrote in or sprinkle cayenne pepper on the plants.
Ah, I've heard about that as well.
Well, I had some cayenne pepper spray, but even that was stinky because I think they mixed it with coyote pee or something. lethal combination. But yeah, that does work. Capsaicin, I think sometimes it's just called capsaicin spray.
Oh, that's what's in pepper spray when you spray the bad guys.
Well, we got to get Kat on the phone because she's a gardener and she'll have something to say about all this. So let's get her on the line. Kat?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Good. Have you listened to us talking about, the groundhog?
Oh, yes. How about your solution to the woodchucks.
Yeah. Well, it's stinky, but we'll see how it goes.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Now you
had to. I had to that option once, and I went to this website, and I couldn't believe they're all, you know, bobcat urine, you know.
Yeah, all the predators. Yeah, thank you.
Why?
Yeah. Well, what about, you know, Woody? Woody the Wonder Dog used to be the best deterrent I had.
Yeah, but he made friends with him.
He did.
We all remember Woody.
I know, Woody. Well, we had the bet. Well, I won't get into that now. Let's not take cat's time up with my stupid stories. Anyway, well, you don't have as much of that going on because you're more urban gardening now.
Well, I actually do have that same problem, which is interesting.
Really?
That there are actually, well, the poor little guy, we did have a woodchuck here until late last fall, and he got hit by a car, but, you know, I did have that same situation here, and sometimes you will see a rabbit, and we have a little resident, I haven't found out where he lives, but he lives under a porch somewhere, there's a skunk that appears. Those aren't, you know, those aren't bad for the garden so much as they are, you know. You have to watch out for them in general.
Yeah.
They do, you know, they will dig in the garden and grub things up, and if a person, you know, really loves their lawn, they will make a bit of a mess grubbing up there. But, yeah, I actually do have the same sort of pests here.
Yeah. All right. Well, so you're not immune to it, even though you're in the urban setting, except
yeah,
I guess it's more dangerous for them because there's cars, you know.
Well, there can be city groundhogs.
Even a couple of years ago, we had a bear wander into town. And about three houses down from me, it had climbed up a telephone pole.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I saw that on
the
news.
You know where we are. I'm right in the middle of town. I'm in the center of town. So
and
pretty amazing.
Yeah.
We can never get away from nature.
No, which is a good thing for the most part. She's always reminding us, you know, like, hello,
right.
I'm here and I'm actually bigger than you.
She was there first.
Right. I know there's a quote that I wanted to share with you today that, well, because I was thinking about all of my experiences with the gardening, by John Muir, who was, you know, a naturalist in the 1800s to the early 1900s. When we try to pick out anything by itself, we find it hitched to everything else in the universe.
Wow, hitched.
Yeah, and it just reminded me that, you know, when I was going to start my gardening out here, that there were blackberry vines out here, and I thought, oh, I'm just going to move all those out of here and have a nice little garden in here. Well, I went to check with the man who caretakes the grounds, and he said, don't pull out my blackberries.
Right.
And I said, but they're so messy. And he said, but they have berries later in the year. He said, I want to keep those berries. And I thought, well, I don't want to upset the man who, you know, checks on my plumbing and, you know.
It's not smart.
keeps my door locks working.
Yeah, it's not a sustainable move.
And so what was really interesting in trying to find out how do I deal with this, you know, how can I gain a new perspective on this, my daughter went away for the weekend, and I was up at her house in Beckett, and she had attended a workshop in the wintertime and had heard a lecture by this man whose name is Timothy Lee. He's up in Brattleboro. And he has this book called Invasive Plant Medicine. And so I was taking a look at it, and I said, well, let me see if blackberry might be on the list. And as a matter of fact, it was, which I thought was pretty amazing. And Timothy Scott, he's an acupuncturist, herbalist, and a writer. He's got a master's degree in traditional Chinese medicine and undergraduate studies in psychology and general health sciences. And he studied under this other man named Stephen Buhner, who is a very well-known herbalist and an author of several books. And Stephen had come up with this theory that, although I think he was just being more specific about how when there are diseases or infestations that people have, that what will happen is after there's some kind of an outbreak of something, that an invasive plant species will become prominent in that area, which I thought was fascinating. And so Timothy Scott was talking about this in his thing with the, you know, he started studying these different invasive plant groups in different places in the United States, and was finding, you know, one of the big things that we're all very aware of right now, especially here in the Northeast, is Lyme disease.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, how there are certain plants that are good for that. And so I took the book home and I started looking around my yard, and I found out I had several invasive plant species on this little, you know, piece of land right in the middle of town. And so that's just been fascinating for me, you know, that instead of weeding out all these things, I'm learning more about what they do and thinking of harvesting some of these in the fall. And so my original plan of taking things out and putting in, you know, nice little hostas and other perennials, it's just that I'm studying the things that are here.
Well, I think that's a really interesting way to do, you know, to handle that. And I think more and more learning about the indigenous plants and the reason they're there. Remember the herbal company up there? I love the name. It was Weeds of Worth.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But I just love the concept of, you know, that not all weeds or invasives are necessarily, and you've just discovered this.
Well, obviously, one man's weed is another man's, you know, favorite
medicine.
Flower.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she was talking about blackberries, and all my hedgerows at the farm in New Jersey were all full of blackberries. But a lot of people look at them and go, oh, they have thorns. They're
painful.
And they're painful, right. And they must go. But let me tell you, I'd take a break from farming, and I'd go over there in July and grab a handful of berries.
But the thing is like when I had berries in my old yard, it attracted deer, a lot of deer and bear.
Sure.
And, you know, of course, with Lyme, you know, if you're attracting the deer into your yard, you're getting more of the ticks or whatever.
Well, I have to tell you, those insects are there whether they're deer in your yard or not.
I know.
So.
Mm-hmm. That's true. We need turkeys in our – more turkeys in our backyard to eat the ticks.
And guinea hens.
Yeah.
Chickens.
Yeah.
Yeah, guinea hens. Yeah, they're fun to look at, and
aren't they hilarious? They're very entertaining.
Yes.
We had a bunch of turkey in our yard. We have this mama turkey with all these babies.
Oh, yeah.
She came through the first time when they were brand new, and there was 12 of them.
Oh.
And it was really interesting because she's not worried about us, and she sat down in the back of the yard, and they all gathered and climbed underneath her.
Yeah.
And anyway, she came back like a couple weeks later with 5 babies. And, you know, I'm like, well, we have a lot of bugs. Anyway, we do have to move on to our break. But, Kat, I think it's a really interesting thing to think about. And I'm glad you gave us a call and let us know what's going on up there in Pittsfield.
Well, I certainly. And hello to Lisa out there in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Kat. Great to hear from you.
All right. Well, stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back after a short break.
All righty. Thanks. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, Kat.
Welcome to Green Light with the original Green Diva, Megan McWilliams. Useful ideas for low-stress green living straight from the Fun Green Divas radio show.
Want to clean like a green diva? Stay tuned to get some green cleaning tips. Are you a foodie or eco-fashionista, or just curious about matters relating to sustainable food and eco-style? Important Media has some of the best blogs on the internet for practical and easy-to-use information from some of the most experienced green bloggers on the internet. Join the Green Divas on two of our favorites, eatdrinkbetter.com and feelgoodstyle.com, and learn and share more about easy green living. Find out about all the Important Media blogs at importantmedia.com. Green Divas are all about healthy, non-toxic, and low-stress cleaning solutions. Here are a few tips to help you clean like a Green Diva. Make your own. White vinegar and water makes a great disinfecting, all-purpose cleaner. Use 1 cup of vinegar to 1 gallon of water. It only smells like salad for a few minutes. Use rags and washable cloths rather than paper towels. Check out the latest green cleaning technology. Vapor steam cleaning, for instance, is different than regular steam cleaning. It uses dry steam and cleans much more than your carpets, without harsh chemicals. Go to thegreendivas.com and look at some of the fun green cleaning product reviews.
To find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcast, visit thegreendivas.com.
Now more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone green dude, Scott.
Yes.
That took me a minute.
Everybody looks at me when the token thing comes up.
Welcome back. You're on the air with, or you're listening to, the Green Divas and Green Dude Scott.
On the air.
I'm Green Diva Lisa.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lisa. I totally forgot about you.
Sitting in a parking lot somewhere in
so
North
far
Dakota.
Away, out of sight, out of mind.
It really is. And the little blinking light, I'm just getting used to seeing that now. I have to remember that's you.
A little sparkle.
Aw. So I just want to mention that we have quite a little Green Diva family growing on Facebook.
Thousands now.
Right?
Almost 2,000.
Well, yeah, we're getting there. So, and we need love. We need lots of love. It helps us grow. So find us on Facebook, Green Divas Radio Show. And you can follow me on Twitter. That's at Green Diva Meg. And our blog, of course, is thegreendivas.com.
Yeah, people interact. You disagree with what we have to say, or you have ideas of your own, interact, and we will be more than happy to discuss them.
And we do. We get. Go ahead.
We're always open for learning as well.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Tell us what you know.
Or what you want to know more about, or questions that you have, or we've had some really interesting comments. We've covered some interesting topics that are big, and they're much bigger than an hour or what we could possibly do. So it's really nice to, to get interactive with our Green Diva and Green Dudes out there.
Yeah, one of the things that we were talking about a few shows ago was about the GMO, and we talked about GMO corn.
Yeah.
Did you see the news reports about the price now for corn? It has gone through the roof.
Because
of the demand for it and so many different, ethanol, and it's being, and we knew this, we discussed this last year.
But what I want to know is, are we still subsidizing corn?
Yes, we are. And
see,
it's a disaster.
It's kind of irritating.
All of the money that is going to corn and soy that don't need it is not going to the farming that is needed, particularly the growth of the local farm industry.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, there was a lot of conversation about that, but we're not going to go there. We're going to talk about that again in a couple of weeks, because we're going to have a guest Green Diva co-host while you're out there, Nancy Dreyfus, who actually wrote that article that we were working from that we had posted on our blog. So Nancy will be in with us, and while she's here, I think we'll bring up the topic again. But now I want to go to our EcoGeek tech segment with Green Dude Scotty. He's got some fun things to talk about.
Well, we haven't seen much of the sun here the past week.
It does seem elusive.
It has rained. It's rained more often than not here in the Northeast. And we've had so much rain. But I want to talk about solar products. I mean, there's little gadgets out there that love the sun. And one of my favorite that I just recently reviewed was the Eton Solora. That's SolaraXL. It's a solar-powered sound system. It works for your iPod or iTouch.
Really?
Oh, it's great. And, of course, it has, the power of the sun behind it, so it really puts out some good sounds. It's rechargeable, obviously, lithium battery. And you can buy it at Apple or REI or Crutchfields. It's about $300, and it's it's solar powered. It's you can take it anywhere, no wires.
Now, is it meant to be an outdoor?
Yes, it is.
So it's not like you can use it inside in your office.
They describe it as splash proof. You can't take it in the pool with you. But
okay,
it can
so
be
it's
around
meant
the
to be
pool.
Sort of an outdoor music system thing.
Right. Right.
Cool.
I mean, again, no wires, and you just take it out there, and it'll recharge your iPod or iTouch.
I wish I had that with me for my camping trip.
Yeah, I think you need that.
Well, let me tell you, there's so many solar chargers out there, and it's great. They'll supplement your all your technology that we all carry around with us now. Another thing that I've used this before. It's called the Flea. It's by Blackburn, and.
Thank you. He keeps turning his head, so I'm giving
him
signals.
I'm reading off my stuff here. But the Blackburn, which is a bicycle light, and it's called the Flea. It's very small, and it uses LED technology, and LEDs today are very bright.
Yeah.
That's what, the police lights are now. The
really?
The ones that everybody complains about.
Oh, the ones that are
LEDs.
Blinding?
Yeah, they're blinding.
They cause accidents?
Oh, no, they don't cause accidents. But they have a USB and solar rechargeable, and you can have it right on your bicycle. Light, and it's a headlight also. It's by Blackburn. That's about $39, and you can look that up, and you can buy that at any bicycle shop.
Do you have one?
I have one, yeah, and they're great.
A Flea? You have a Flea?
I have a Flea on my bike.
A little light-up
Flea. I actually have one on my bike in Austin as well.
Yeah. Do you know why I have to have that? Because people like to drive and text.
Oh, yeah. You got to get dodge the cars?
Yeah.
This summer when I pulled my bike out to ride back and forth to the office, in New Jersey, that concerned me more than anything. I thought, people will see me in the daytime, but not if they're texting. And I seriously worried about that, Scotty.
Oh, yeah. Well, people like to ride the shoulder when they're texting because they're more afraid about oncoming cars than they are about what's on the shoulder. And we all see it. We see it out there. But I'm on the shoulder riding my bicycle. So there's four LED red flash, and the flashes. You can have a solid flashing or intermittent, and it's very bright. It catches your eye. It's just a little, just bright enough to catch your eye and let everybody know that you're there. So
wow,
that's one of my favorite products.
Scott, you mentioned, Scott, about having the lights, how bright the LED lights are. I'd like to put a shout out to people that camp and put those headlights on or the lights that are on their caps. People don't realize that when they look at somebody, they're totally blinding them. It's not fun sitting around a campfire with a bunch of people with LED lights on. They're kind of dodging each other in conversation.
Yeah, but LEDs have come a long way, haven't they? I love them.
Yeah, yes. Well.
And they last forever, and they use so much energy.
So now we have, since LEDs are kind of coming around, and you can put them on little hats when you're camping, like LED etiquette?
Oh, really? Right? Well, yeah. All this technology is going to require etiquette.
Blinding light at night at camping, you know.
We've all sat in theaters recently and watched all the lights light up as people text during movies. It looks like fireflies.
No, that's a big no-no.
Yeah, we know they do it.
Okay. Well, that was excellent. Is there anything else there, Scotty? He's looking at me like, what? You're cutting me off?
Well, we could get into biodiesels, but...
No.
Just give me my own show and I'll just go.
I know. That was great. That was like a really perfect segment. And then Lisa has one she's prepared, and I wanted to give her some airspace to do a repurposing segment.
Right. Well, since we're having... Susan Frankel, is that how you pronounce it? Frankel?
Yeah.
Frankel? I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing it wrong. But anyway, as our guest who wrote Plastic, A Toxic Love Story, I decided to do a little research on some repurposing of plastic things. Now, plastic bag itself, one of the things that I do on a regular basis to recycle is I take the plastic bag that I've used, I turn it inside out, I throw it in the laundry with my stuff, I pull it out, and I hang it on the line. Now, that's a way to recycle without using any more energy or any more water or anything like that. So that's a good use. And, of course, plastic bags for dog poo is always a great thing, and lots of people know about that.
Right.
I was thinking about those clamshells that you get. There's a bunch of fun things you can do that. You can cut them in half. You can use one half of it to start seedlings. The bottom half can be used and kept by your kitchen as a small colander for small amounts of fruits and veggies. You can store crafts and sewing notions in them. You can donate them to farm market vendors or donate them to teachers for art supplies. And you can dress one up to give cookies away and treats away.
Wait a minute. I want to go back. What the heck is a clamshell exactly?
I'm sorry, but when you buy something at a store, like a sandwich or a piece of cake or whatever, they put them in those plastic clamshells. That's what they call them. And
I
was picturing actual clamshells myself.
That in the beginning. So these are some of the uses you can do that. They're great. One of the fun things you can do with them when you have little ones at home is use them for draining and storing tub toys.
Really?
So... yes, and then I have another pet peeve.
Gosh, you're so darn... Wait, one more question. I'm sorry to
okay.
go back.
Go ahead.
With the plastic bags, when backtracking a bit. When you wash and dry them or whatever, is there a certain weight plastic? Like, you can't do really light plastic, can you? I mean,
yes, you can.
You can?
I, as a Green Diva, wash all my clothes in cold water anyway.
Okay.
When I throw my bags in there, it's just like rinsing them out. It's just that I don't use extra water or energy to do it. I just throw them in with my wash. It's going to be washed anyway. Hang them up to dry. Bada bing, bada boom.
So you're definitely not putting them in the dryer.
No, she hangs them up.
I just want to make sure that people don't think they're going to put these plastic bags in a dryer. That could be a problem.
Fine, I appreciate it.
Yeah, that would be a problem, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and there's a couple of other things that we do all the time in our homes that we could not use plastics for. For instance, the plastic containers with lids on them when you're storing leftovers from a meal. You don't have to take everything out of a serving dish, put it in another container, which eventually has to be washed, and if you don't own them, then you have to go out and buy plastic containers. All you have to do is take it in the container that you've served it in, put a plate on it, and stick it in your refrigerator.
Yeah, right.
And then you're not washing it, extra things, and it's right there. It's easy to store. And I think people just don't think of that. We're so programmed to throw everything in plastic and stick a lid on it and stick it in there. And we don't have to do that. You know, it's just a simple thing. And there's another thing, plastic bottle tops. Whole
yeah.
Foods is recycling them for Aveda, through the Aveda company, and which is a great thing. So you can take them to Whole Foods. Everybody's got games, board games at home that are missing a few pieces. You can use those to replace the missing pieces.
Oh.
Or you can even build a whole new checkerboard game with the different colored, or you can decorate them to make different, you know, teams of cups. And the other thing, or the caps. The other thing you can do with those is dig a hole in them, or cut a hole in them, and use them to cinch your plastic bags that you do have to use. So instead of using a twisty, or like if you buy a loaf of bread,
and
you want it, instead of using a twisty or a rubber band or something, you can use that. And the last thing is, for this time of year when there's a lot of insect invasions, like little ants and things like that, if you use boric acid or some deterrent for insects, you can use those caps and put them strategically around your house for that.
That's why she's such a green diva. She's so darn creative about this stuff. And, you know, the truth is, I know she does a lot of this stuff, because especially when she had kids.
I absolutely do.
When she had kids, there was always, like, you know, go ahead.
One of the products that drives me crazy are those meat trays that you get at the grocery store when you buy meat.
Oh, yeah. Styrofoam wrapped in plastic.
The couple things you can do is you can use them to start seedlings, and you can use them under, when you're watering plants, you can use them to catch water for plants that are in pots that you're watering.
That's really good. Well, I think the name of the game, and I'm sure we'll talk about it more with Susan Frankel, is, you know, plastic's not going anywhere. It's how we use it and reuse it and be smart about using it as a resource.
Exactly.
I think that is a big deal. Wow, that was really fascinating.
Well, there's a few more tidbits that I...
Oh, well, go for it. We got a couple.
We're going to post it on the website, which is thegreendivas.com. So you can read up on that, and we'll keep adding stuff. And if you want to tell us a few of your things that you do with recycling plastics, please let us know, and we'll post it and share it with everybody.
Yeah, and I was trying to think, and of course I didn't write it down, but there was a company that I reviewed a product. I wish I could remember the name of it, but it was a way that you could wash your plastic bags, like Ziploc bags, in your dishwasher.
So yeah, it just held them in place.
Well, I've done that before, just open them up. Sometimes the dishwasher, you know, you
turn
the heat off on your dishwasher.
Well,
you have to worry about the things that come off of plastic when you do anything heating them wise, which is another good reason not to use them for leftovers. If you're going to reheat something in the microwave, which, you know, you're going to want to do that in a plate, not in something plastic, because of the toxins that come off plastic.
But she had a thing, if they were freezer bags and you put them in the upper tray, and she had a way to open it up a little bit so that it would wash properly.
Sure.
It was kind of clever. I just wish I could remember the name. The woman's name who designed them was named Jeannie Picos. But, you know, that's not helping me with her product. So,
or maybe we do a search and find more.
Jesse will find it, and we'll post it on the blog. Well,
I'd like to say one thing about all of this. You know, we get a lot of products to try out and stuff. But honestly, if we just look around our house and repurpose some of the things that we have, we don't necessarily, even if they're green products, we don't necessarily have to buy and use new products all the time.
Well, I think that's the point of this repurposing segment, ongoing. I'd like to have an ongoing segment where we talk about just how do we use what we have instead of getting more stuff. Thank you,
Yay.
Lisa. That was excellent. We're going to go to break, and then when we come back, we're going to have Susan Frankel on, the author of Plastic, A Toxic Love Story. Stay tuned. I want Green Diva Nails without all the nasty toxic chemicals.
I've got the solution. I just tried this G2 Organics non-toxic odor-free nail polish and remover. Did I mention odor-free? Look at my gorgeous toes. And you should see the colors. The colors are great. And the best part? Each one comes with its cool little touch-up tube.
And I guess since it doesn't smell, you can whip it out anywhere. The touch-up tube, I mean. Find out more at G2Organics.com.
Now more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone green dude, Scott.
I always want to do a little shuffle with that. I know. I like that music. Welcome back to the Green Divas radio show.
We're on Saturdays.
Green Dude Scott and Green Diva Meg and Green Diva Lisa, right?
That'd be me.
Okay. I just want to make sure you were there. I didn't want to hit buttons and get in trouble like last week. I just want to mention that our associate producer here, Silent Jesse, did find the Bag E Wash. That's the name of the product I was talking about that you can... That'll help you rewash Ziploc bags in your dishwasher.
Bag, the letter E.
Wash. Yes. Thank you. Now, we do have Susan Frankel on, and I was reviewing it again last night and highlighting things, and there's just so much to it that I wish we had a whole hour with her. But let's get her on the air to start now. Susan?
Yes, hi.
Hi. Now, first of all, we've done all of this by email, all this booking I do by email, and I want to make sure that I'm pronouncing your name correctly.
Frankel.
It is Frankel.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Such a relief.
I got lucky on that one. Well, thank you for taking the time to call us, and I understand you're out visiting in the West Coast, right?
Well, I live in San Francisco, but I'm in Oregon right now.
Oh, okay. All right. I knew you were traveling. Well, thank you for taking the time to call us so early.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure.
Well, I am just enthralled by your book, and it's something we've been talking about. And I don't know if you remember in February, I don't know if you follow Rodale at all.
Yeah, sure.
But
they did the plastic-free challenge.
Yeah, and I confidently jumped into that challenge thinking I'm pretty good with anti-plastic. And I was, like you said, about 10 seconds into it, like, oh, my God.
Everything's plastic.
I was so depressed after, a few days of trying not to introduce new plastic. I think that the exercise was excellent in teaching me that it's just about awareness, first of all, of how much there is. And
Exactly. You know, because it's so ubiquitous that it becomes invisible. You don't even see it. And so when you start thinking about it, you start becoming aware of it. At least then you can make conscious choices about what you want to have in your life and what you don't.
Well, in Susan's book, Plastic, A Toxic Love Story, she does an excellent job of kind of using five different, I think it's five, right? Comb, chair.
Eight.
Okay. I'm not so much for math. Okay. Comb, chair, frisbee, an IV bag, disposable lighter, grocery bag, soda bottle, and credit card, and uses those as a backdrop to really help illustrate and give us a history on how plastic evolved. And anyway, I'd be curious, first of all, to find out what led you to do this book.
I live in San Francisco, where there had been a lot of debate and discussion about plastic for quite a long time, and probably earlier than a lot of places in the country, and that started me thinking about it and just kind of brought it into my awareness. And then, as you mentioned, I decided to try this little thought experiment where I thought, well, let's see what it would be like to try to go a day without touching anything plastic. And that was so naive. And I quickly realized as soon as I walked into the bathroom that I couldn't do that. And so I decided to spend a day writing down everything that I touched that was plastic. And, by day's end, I had this very long list, both of things that I knew that would be plastic, like, the baggies or the steering wheel in my car, and things that I hadn't even thought about. I looked at my underwear and realized it was a synthetic material. And then the next day I wrote down everything that wasn't plastic that I touched, and it was a much shorter list and actually a much less interesting list. And that made me realize, that this kind of wide array of things that I had identified as plastic, I had no idea where they came from. I didn't really know what they were made of. I didn't know what it meant to say they were plastic. And I didn't really know if that was good or bad, that so much of my life was plastic without my trying. Because, you know, if you looked at my house at first glance, I live in an old house, and, you know, I'm kind of a, you know, organic natural fibers kind of person.
Right, right.
So you know, that's I realized there was a very rich topic for a book in that.
Well, I mean, and the research, I mean, Susan is a journalist, an excellent journalist, and so she really dug in, and I was really interested, just fascinated by the whole comb thing. Who knew?
Yeah, that was interesting. You know, I used the comb to talk about the rise of plastic and the development of early plastics, and the way, you know, ironically, in which plastic, you know, 100 plus years ago was actually, you know, a friend of nature's, because it was used to replace materials that were being, you know, replace materials that came from animals that were being hunted.
Right, the elephants.
Into extinction, like the elephant, the ivory from elephants, or the tortoiseshell from sea turtles. And, you know, in the case of the comb, that was one of the first objects made from one of the first plastics, celluloid. And it made combs that were beautiful, that looked like ivory, that looked like tortoiseshell, and that anybody could afford.
Wow. Yeah, so there was it evolved from this thing, but I was fascinated by you know, by all the, by the antique combs and what kind of got your attention there.
Beautiful combs. They're just absolutely, I went to the Plastics Museum in Leominster, and they're just, there were these, it's now been closed, but there were these combs made of celluloid that were stunning. I mean, exquisite, you know, and not kind of like the cheap plastic combs that you buy at Walgreens today.
Right, right. No, people used to really covet and, you know,
collect. Why are you looking at me? I don't have any combs.
I know, you don't have any hair. But then the next chapter, she's talking about Frisbee. And, of course, I, you know,
oh, we all had Frisbees.
Date myself too much, but I played Ultimate Frisbee, and
they still have that.
I know, but back when we did it, we were like pioneers of Ultimate
pioneers
Frisbee.
Pioneers of Ultimate Frisbee.
We were.
Yeah, probably.
But it was kind of interesting, and in that you talk a lot about toys and how plastic toys have evolved and exploded onto the scene. But there was one line that I underlined here where it was actually promoted as such: toys of Monsanto plastics bring Christmas cheers.
Isn't that hilarious?
Oh, my God. I was like,
Monsanto. Better living through chemistry.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, you know what scared me was, remember back when McDonald's, they first started with the Happy Meal, and you got a plastic toy?
Yeah.
And my kids' rooms were just
filled
with plastic.
Little.
And I looked at it one day, and of course, it was, you know, Tonka went to plastic, and everything was plastic. All their toys were plastic, and I just looked at the room one day, and there was so much plastic in that room; it was unbelievable.
Yeah, and it also means you went to McDonald's too often.
Well, you know, back then I think we did, but
yeah,
I mean, it
I
was
remember.
Just that was scary that they were just so much plastic everywhere you went. That just kicked it off for me.
Yeah.
Well, if you walk down the toy aisle today, it's all plastic.
Yeah, it's,
I mean,
amazing.
I date myself. I remember metal Tonka trucks, and I remember you know, dolls that at least had cloth bodies. I had a doll that had a cloth body. And, yeah, you're right. It's all plastic now.
Well, and of course, you know, she follows this Frisbee thing. But I was fascinated about this comment about Steady Ed Hedrick, the guy who really got Frisbee to where it is today as a groovy Ultimate Frisbee and Frisbee golf and all that fun stuff. When he died, this probably means nothing to anybody, but to me it was interesting. He died in 2002. He had his ashes molded into Frisbees.
Ew.
Because he wanted all his friends to be able to throw him around.
But he didn't start with plastic, though, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, no, he did.
Yeah, he did.
But Frisbees didn't start as plastic.
Nope, Frisbees, well, Susan, you explain the background there.
Frisbees were pretty much always made of plastic. I mean, they got the idea from metal cake pans that people used to throw around.
Something hurt, probably.
But the guy who invented Frisbees, a guy named Walter Morrison, he had the idea of taking this game of throwing cake pans around and creating something that was a little more aerodynamic and easier to throw, and he invented the first Frisbees, and then Whammo, you know, licensed it from him, and they kind of evolved the Frisbee into what we know it today, and that guy, Steady Ed Hedrick, was the guy who figured out how to sort of make them more aerodynamic and start making them into actual, you know, sports objects. So you've got things like ultimate and frisbee golf and disc dog and the sort of games that people like.
Freestyling, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that guy who first did it, and Walter, what's his name, he used plastics.
Yeah. It was after the war, and he figured out that plastics would make a good material to make these things out of.
Yeah, pie plates hurt.
and the dogs they get banged like up, and they get dinged, and, you know, they get dented.
And they're just not that aerodynamic,
and, you know, frisbees, it's hard to break a frisbee.
It is, actually. They have to be really, really cold or run over a few times.
Yeah.
And I've broken them before. But anyway, so, you know, just going through here and reading about plastic bottles, which is kind of interesting with your RBET and everything that's going on with that now. And one of the things with RBET is we've done a lot of reporting on RBET being used now for, or RBET, I guess, is the recycled product from plastic bottles.
Which is being used
right.
in...
Right. You know, the first time around, they're made from PET.
PET, sorry. All right, I'm close.
You're talking about you know, plastic bottles being used in...
Well, they're making fabrics.
To, right.
Well, that my computer bag right over there is made from our PET. PET.
It's reusable.
I'm wearing a fleece sweatshirt that's Patagonia. It's made from recycled bottles.
And we did. We talked about Patagonia last week about their recycled underwear campaign, which was kind of hilarious.
Well, right, recycled underwear, great. One of the things with plastics that bothers me so much is the huge amount of packaging that is plastic, and that's immediately thrown away by most people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, about a third of plastic goes into packaging, which is. That's a lot. It is a lot. You know, and some of that packaging we need, I mean, but there's a lot of wasteful and excess packaging. And you're right, it gets thrown away if it's not adequately recycled. We have a very low recycling rate for plastics in this country.
Well, when we were talking about going down the toy aisle, when you mentioned that before, the first thing I thought was you have plastic inside the most infuriating bunch of plastic because it's plastic on top of plastic, which you need pliers and you know, blowtorch and, you know, serious scissors.
Yeah. Although I recently read that the economic downturn is causing companies to rethink those impossible-to-open clamshells, and there are actually a lot of companies are starting to phase them out, thank heaven.
Well, yeah, there's a good result.
The price of oil has made those non-economical.
Excellent.
What's next?
I mean, the fact is I think some of this is intelligent economics in terms of not, you know, I think we could produce less.
Well, it's intelligent economics, and it's also that, you know, as in the case of packaging, companies can overpackage things, and they don't have to deal with the cost of it. That's kind of on the back of municipal governments and us as taxpayers. And, you know, I argue in the book that if you... If companies were on the hook for dealing with the cost of disposing of products and packaging they put in the marketplace, you'd start to get much better design because they wouldn't want to have to pay for the triple-wrapped, you know, plastic toy in a hard-shell clamshell with plastic wrap around it and, you know, cardboard and whatnot. And that's actually what's happened in countries that have those kinds of extended producer responsibility laws.
I think that's an interesting concept. I like that. Make them responsible for the final stage of this life cycle of all the stuff they're putting out. And if everybody was responsible for what they manufactured all the way through.
Well, see, there's the problem.
Right. You would find people, you know, have an incentive to put out less wasteful packaging. I mean, that's really what a bottle bill is. I'm in Oregon right now, which had the first bottle bill. And just expanded it. And, you know, that makes beverage companies responsible for getting back the empties. And, boy, you find that they have much, much higher recycling rates, you know, double and triple the rates of states that don't have bottle bills.
Well, I'll tell you, my experiment with the plastic-free February, which was a really sad, you know, and enlightening experience for me, I think the thing that really came out of that for me, and you talk about it too, is also, you know, the responsible use. It's not going away today. But how can we recycle and reuse and really minimize, like, because we just got crazy. I can't remember the statistic, and I tried to mark it down. With the increase in use of plastics annually, you may remember it off the top of your head, but it was crazy.
Well, from 1960, the average American used 30 pounds of plastic a year, consumed 30 pounds of plastic, and now we're at about 300 pounds.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of that reflects durable goods, you know, things like computers and electronics that didn't exist 50 years ago, but it also reflects a huge increase in disposable products, single-use stuff. And that's really, I think, where the kind of stupid and wasteful use of plastics comes in.
Right.
You know, just you know, crazy things from, you know, straws and takeout cups and so forth to, you know, single-use, those one-time dental floss picks. Or, you know, my sister works in a hospital, and she just told me about single-use communion kits.
That's a little bizarre.
Well, my concern is that the very low number or the low percentage of plastic that is actually recycled. It's very low.
Yeah. Getting better.
Yeah, because it's tough to recycle, and you've got a lot of different kinds of plastics. And even the most recycled, which is those, you know, PET bottles, we're only recycling nationally, you know, at about 28-29%. So that means that, you know, millions and millions and millions of pounds of those bottles are going to landfill.
Right.
Well, I do hope that more and more communities are making recycling more accessible. And I did read a report here from the More Recycling Associates that says the study shows 94% of Americans can recycle an assortment of plastic bottles. It doesn't say they do, but that
they say they have access, which, you know, where I live, that means I can just put it out in a recycling bin, and it's very easy to do. But, you know, access can also mean that you have to drive to a redemption center, or you have to, you know, you have to go through a fair amount of effort to get that bottle into the recycling stream. And the fact of the matter is, you know, if you look at the growth statistics of how many actually get recycled, clearly, access doesn't mean that people, you know, are able or are willing to do it.
Well, I think part of our dilemma will be, part of our mandate with becoming more aware of plastic in our lives is to recycle and is to support companies that are finding innovative ways to reuse plastic and whatnot. So, Susan, we have to go.
Well, thank you. This has been really nice, and it's been a pleasure talking with you.
Well, I hope you'll come on again, because there's certainly more to talk about, and I appreciate you taking the time this morning.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Hi, thanks.
Bye. Thanks for joining us.
Wow. So, we could probably go on and on about that, and I'm sure we will more and more. We have a couple of upcoming... Okay. Hold on, I'm dropping a line, trying not to drop.
What I would like to suggest our listeners is to pick this book up, Plastics, A Toxic Love Story. It really does give us information. You know, there's so many nuances to the things that we actually use or need in our lives. So it's best to be well-educated about what's safe, what's not safe, so you can make good decisions on how to transition your lives away from plastic.
And I just want to say that the book is not only informative, but it's really well written and interesting. I mean, I actually was really, it was like reading an interesting novel almost. I was kind of fascinated. I just want to mention real quick that our upcoming schedule next week, we have the folks from GreenAid who made the seed bombs we talk about. And then the following week, we have Tom Zakey, the CEO of TerraCycle, who's big, big on recycling and repurposing garbage. So we'll have lots more to talk about with him. And as I take a deep breath, I think we've burned up another hour. So
already.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and have a great green week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. And remember to share the good green news with friends and family.